Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday in July. That we are still in the Pentecost season. It's the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. We continue to celebrate the power of Pentecost and the works of Pentecost that Holy Spirit is doing through our lives in this world. Thank you for joining us here and also online. God has given us one more day to live in this world, to be a blessing here in this world. Thanks be to God for that. The announcements are listed in the second page. We can go through that. Those are the regular announcements, except the third Thursday luncheon is going to be on Thursday, July 23rd at the Golden Corral at 1 p.m. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. Next Sunday, Pastor Tim Owens will be preaching. And after the Sunday after that, Celebration Sunday, we'll have lunch at the end of the month, Sunday. Reverend Gary Thornton from AIM will be visiting on September 13th. He will update us on the AIM and their activities and also our pastoral search. And preparing for that also, and also I prepared a budget for 2026. Please take one, it's available here. And you can ask me questions today or next week, anytime if you have anything. It looks like we are in good shape and everybody stepped up after our last year's appeal. Thank you for continuing to donate to the church. And this is a good guidance for the team who is looking for interviewing the new pastor, because they need to know the budget of the church, and that helps a lot. We might need more, I don't know, but we'll talk to him about, you know, how much they are asking now. Everything is up. So let us pray about it, that they can find the right person for this church for the future. Please go over this and let me know if you have any questions today or any Sunday. When you come back, I wanted to welcome Robin Beard. He has been here before. He's the son of a former pastor here, Reverend Beard. And please stop by and say hi to him. And we'll be glad to have you back again every Sunday. So welcome back. He told me he attended this church when he was a little boy. So some of you probably might remember him. I think Miss Linda might remember him. She said, Gene McBride definitely will remember him. So please welcome Robin also to this church. Welcome Lou also. She's here.
Morning.
Good morning. Those are the announcements that I have. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do faithfully with the opportunities that He has given us to do. We accept our donations on our website with many different ways of credit cards or bank draft, many other options there. Please look it up, and then if you can donate that way, it is much easier for our accounting system also. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements to make? If not, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn is, let me bring it up first, is 117 in the Blue Book, O God, our help in ages past. We will sing verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. We skip 5. If you are able, please stand.
Oh,
before the rising sun. O God, our helping ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal hope.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather here in this church to worship you and also online. We thank you for the gift of life and the many blessings that you give us every day in spite of our sinfulness and unfaithfulness. We thank you for your faithfulness in our life that is from everlasting to everlasting, and we thank you for your presence every day, keeping us safe and protecting us from harm and evil in the busy worlds, in the walks of our lives every day, Lord. We thank you for, above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to this world to die for us, who rose from the dead so that we can have eternity with you, that you chose us from this world, from our sin. We thank you for this time again that we gather here today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. With all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, we adore you, O God. We pray for all the churches and groups that are gathering to worship you on this Sunday. Bless with your presence everywhere, O God. May your people be blessed and your name be lifted up everywhere, Lord. And bless us today as we meditate from the word and our prayers and our fellowship here today. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other.
He must be working a lot. Four, and I think it's up on the screen also. If you can, please stand and join us as we sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
And we're singing through one time.
If you want,
it's good. Let's make sure.
Thank you. As you remain standing, we will read the responsive reading, which is the Canticle of Praise.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is also.
The sea is his, and he made it, and he is the in his hands prepared the dry land.
O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are his people. He is our shepherd, and we are his flock.
Glory be to God, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, and as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The word of God for people.
Thanks
be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time where we bring our prayers of praises and thanks, give thanks to God for the many blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns and our petitions before God, united in faith, because God has promised that he will answer our prayers according to his will when we unite, his people unite in faith and pray for our needs. So let us turn to our prayer requests at the back of the bulletin. If you want to turn with that, in those boxes listed there, you will see the prayer request that we have been praying. Please use this as your regular reminder for prayers when you pray at home. Thanks be to God for the continued recovery of many of our dear ones, Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Jan, Yolanda, Miss Lou, Jean Barrington, Adam, Rich, and many others that we have been praying for. Thanks be to God for their continued progress in their health issues. And we also continue to pray for grace and mercy and healing for our dear ones, Jerry Raines, Carol Clements, Ronnie Ricky, Sean and Amy Conway, Jennifer Berry, and many others that we have been praying for. Pray for people who are asking for various needs in their families and lives. Melissa Pilcher, remember her in our prayers, and also the people of Venezuela have been struggling with the recovery efforts that are happening in Venezuela after the disaster there. And pray for all the workers who are working there in various ways to give relief work. God will protect them and keep them safe also. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who have been working behind the scenes that serve us. So let us be thankful for their services and remember them in our prayers. And also, I just heard the news, one of our senators died this morning, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. I heard he was not married and not have family, so please remember his family in our prayers at this time. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, many others who are working in their daily lives to make decisions that are tough, sometimes very difficult, but that God will give them the wisdom to do the right decisions and make the right decisions that will bring unity and peace to our country and the world. So also remember the for our world leaders and also for world peace, that God will bring peace to this world and bring leaders together, that they will fear God when they make decisions. Also pray for our church, that God has given us this community to do his work, that we will do it faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do, to serve the people who are in need in this community. And also let us lift up all the churches in this area, pastors, leaders, mission work, and many other people who are working, and also the world church at large, working in various parts of the world, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in among opposition and difficult situations in many parts of the world. Remember them in our prayers. Those are the prayer requests that I wanted to bring as a church request. Any other personal prayer request anyone to share or add to this list? Special calls? If there are no special calls to prayer, let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer. Then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who will ask will receive, and everyone who seek will find." Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of praises and thanksgiving and also burdens and concerns. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings that you shower upon us every day. Thank you for your kind protection and mercy that you show us. In the busy walks of life, in the times of danger and harm, you protect us and keep us safe. We thank you for this time that you have given us to come before with a grateful heart to thank you for everything you give us, the health and strength that we have in our bodies, to get up outside and walk around and come to church and have fellowship together, all your blessings, O God, and we thank you for that. We also come before you with our brokenness. Many of us are broken in many different ways, O God. We live in a broken world. We are scarred by the sin and the hurts of this world in many different ways. But you are the one who can heal us because you are our maker. You are our creator. You know the hurts we have carried from our own life experiences, and we come to you for comfort at this time, O God. We always hear violence and hatred and wars and killings all over the world every day. Help us not to lose heart, O God, because God is still in control. And he is still at work even in a corrupt world. Empower us, O God, to be your powerful witnesses, spreading the love and peace in this world. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve, and you will continue to give us the grace to act in times of hurts and grief like this. Help us, O God, with our dear ones who are looking for your healing. We thank you especially for the progress in their health in many of our dear ones. And thank you for the healing you have given to Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Jan Basil, Lou, Yolanda, Jean Barrington, Adam, and Rich. Continue to be with them and strengthen them in their faith, and give them the guidance every day they need, Lord. And above all, give them peace in their lives. We pray for our dear ones who are looking for healing, especially your presence in their life at this time. Especially we remember Carol in our prayers. We lift her up, O God, at this time, united in faith. Give her the grace, Lord, and let your presence be felt by her as we pray now. Comfort her, Lord, and pray for all those who care for her. Bless them with the patience and the love, and care for her. We pray for Wayne also. Bless him with your peace and guide him every step, every day. We pray for Jerry Raines and Ronnie Ricky and Sean and Amy Conway, Pam, Jennifer, and all those who are still that who have not named here that need bodily healing. Bless them with your healing. Above all, we pray for peace for them and their family members. We pray for Melissa, also guide her with your wisdom to make the right choices for life. We pray for people of Venezuela who are affected by, many of them lost their dear ones and lost everything in their lives. We pray for your grace to be with them and all the people who are working as relief works happening there. Bless them with your grace and keep them safe also. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many, many others that work in various different ways, Lord. We thank you for their services, and we pray for their safety and for their families at this time. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions. We especially pray for the family of Senator Graham. Bless them with your peace during this time of grief. We pray for world peace. We pray for the world leaders that they will be making decisions with the fear of God in their hearts. We'll bring peace and unity in this world, O God, and bring end to all these wars. We pray for our church. Help us to do your work faithfully in this community, Lord, and we pray for all the churches around us. Bless all the pastors and the leaders and the missionaries who work in various different ways to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us to be your living witnesses, and as we look for the future, we pray for your special guidance with the pastor that we are looking for, and also in our finances and everything that you have been blessing us with. Continue to guide us with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your Spirit in our future. Bless us today, Lord, with your presence. Touch each and every one of us according to our needs and our desires of our hearts. Above all, we pray for your name to be lifted up in our singing and meditation of the word and prayers, as we go from this place, that we'll be filled with the power of your word and spirit, that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father,
Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us in this life. Thank you that we're able to be together here today, and we just pray that you bless this offering to your use and us to thy service, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, that you have given us a gift so that we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word. Help us to receive your word with humility and obedience, O God, that we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit as he guides us. Every word that we read and we hear today, Lord, is from you, that we may accept them as your commands in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord, according to our needs. And bless us with your grace as we go from this place, that we can feel and experience the power of your word in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you all know that the World Cup is coming to an end. I don't know what many of us will do after that. We have been following it for about a month, over a month. And I know you are doing that, right? But Argentina is coming here Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
Are you going?
No.
Yeah, it's about $5,000 a ticket.
You pay for my ticket. I'm going.
She's from originally from Argentina. So probably she'll be rooting for them. But sorry that USA didn't get through the semifinals. I asked you to pray, but you know that's all we could do.
Yes.
But that was a good game also. And we see the world coming to the U.S. from various parts of the world. And we went to one game a couple of weeks ago. I couldn't understand how these people got here and how they got the rooms. 65,000 people, all full stadium.
Yes.
And the tickets 2 weeks ago were close to $1,000. But we took it a few days before that. But I saw a family when we seated. A family came from North Carolina. Three children and husband and wife from Morocco. Morocco was playing. So they came here, live in a hotel room. But when they got the tickets, they were split up. Three in one area, two in another place. Because you can only take four tickets at one shot. So we were sitting there, and this family of five came and looking at us. I asked them, what are you worrying about? Oh, we got to split our two people. We have to sit here. We came from North Carolina. We live in a hotel here. I said, how many do you need? So my wife and I switched for the two. So they were able to sit together. You know, that was a great thing, that because they were able to, after all of that trouble that they did from North Carolina coming, staying in a hotel. But the interest in the game is so much that people spend that kind of money. Not only the ticket, but all the way from there, taking off from work. And many people around us are from Haiti, who came from Haiti, and many came from Morocco directly. I mean, look at these people's interest and excitement about the game. I heard that we had four games in Atlanta. It's equivalent to playing four football games, our Super Bowl. But we didn't hear a lot of other, you know, safety issues or problems or anything with all of these people crowding. Thanks be to God for that. It was a good thing. But the traffic mess is bad. Once you get out of the game, we had to wait an hour before even we could get a Uber. Because there's no Uber to take anywhere. So it was with all of those things, people are still going for that game. I don't know it's going to be on Wednesday. But when all these things happen, it's a lot of things that come together as one world we look at. When I talked to you and spoke to you about the Psalm 91 last couple of Sundays, supposedly, according to scholars, written by Moses, 91. See, Psalm 90 definitely says on the title that it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So we know, at least from the title, that it was written by Moses. But some historians say that Moses did not write this, but some forefathers or early scholars attributed this to Moses. We don't know the whole history, but it says a prayer of Moses. And this is a time when Moses was probably in his old age, about 120 years old, towards the end of his ministry, that God has called him to lead the people out of Egypt and take them through the desert, and they were probably at the Red Sea, at the Jordan, looking the promised land. But God told Moses that he would not enter the promised land, but he can only see it from this side of the river.
Amen.
And I don't want to go deep into that. That's not my topic today. But God told him, even though you heard my call, and you answered my call, and then you took it up, and then led these people through a difficult liberation from the Egyptian Pharaoh, and a very, very difficult year, 40 years of journey through the wilderness, mm-hmm. with desert and all kinds of difficult situations, and pitching tents after tents, years of travel and journey. Many, many people who have started their journey with Moses are gone. They're dead and gone. And apparently some scholars are saying that Moses was at this time when he was very old and towards near that Jordan River, thinking about his life and the world and our life as human beings. He looked back his own life probably because in Numbers 20 we read about Moses' brother Aaron dies. And shortly after that his sister Miriam dies. These two people were his supporters morally, spiritually, and in every way they were his supporters. And you know Aaron was the high priest and he did the religious stuff and Moses did the political and leadership stuff and they were working together as God's chosen leaders to lead these people. Now all of a sudden, Moses finds himself alone. His right hand was Aaron, his brother, who was also the religious leader. He's gone. It's Miriam, his sister, who always supported him in many different ways, also is gone. And he found himself lonely, probably a little depressed, when he wrote this psalm. And then, instead of complaining, God told him that even though you did all these things, you are not going to enter the promised land. The next generation will do. That really hurts, really. With all that type of work that he did, and all the struggles that he had to go through, and the fights, and all the problems. Finally, his dream to enter the promised land was not granted. But this song that a prayer that he wrote during that time of his depression was not a prayer of complaints. It's a prayer of grace and prayer of praise for the Creator God. He doesn't look at his life as one piece. As the whole thing. He looks at his life as only one piece of a big puzzle. When we look at our lives, we want everything to turn around our lives. Things have to turn according to our will, our life. We think our life is the biggest thing in this world. And the whole world revolves around our life. Because that is how we look at our lives. Me, myself, and my stuff. My dear ones, and my wife, my children. But Moses was looking at a bigger picture that God's world is much bigger than ourselves. She said, "He who have been a dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The greatness of God comes to his mind when he finds himself down and depressed. He said, "Lord, even though I am struggling with loneliness and sometimes helplessness, I know you are a God of eternity. You have been our dwelling place, not this generation, not in my life, but from generation to generations, even before the mountains were born. You brought forth everything." God is an eternal God who is greater than ourselves, greater than our problems, greater than anything that you can ever imagine. He's a great God. And he talks about our brevity of life. 1,000 years in God's sight is like a day that is just gone by and a watch in the night. For God there is no time. Because only human beings have time. Because we are limited by the time and space. But God is not limited by time or space. He is from Alpha to Omega. He is eternal. So there is no measurement you can make with God, or because we can't even comprehend the concept of God himself. He is the Creator God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, Omnipresent, Omniscient, and Omnipotent. All-knowing, All-Powerful, and always ever-present. That's the God he is. And that's what we need to learn from Moses. At this time, don't look at ourselves as everything. You know, my problems are the biggest. Yes, you have problems. I have problems. I have sickness and weakness and pains. But the whole world out there are sometimes grieving more than we do. I mean, look at the people of Venezuela now. Are we better than them?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Go with that.
I don't think so. It is only because of God's grace that we are well kept, not because of who we are. It is only because of who He is. And He is a great God and He controls everything and He is all powerful. And let us be thankful for that, like Moses. And he praised God for his life, even though he had to go through. And even now God is not giving him his dream with a disappointed heart, but he thinks God's will is better than his desires. That's what we need to understand in our lives also. God is a good God. He only wishes good for us. And he knows better for our lives and than we can plan ourselves. And all our days are under your wrath, O God. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. And then at the verse 12, we read, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I've told you many times before, to number our days is something that we can try to learn. If we start numbering our days, how many days are left? Moses says, 60 or what is it, 70 or 80, right? He says, our days may come to 70 years or 80. But now, you know, because our longevity has extended lately, so it might be 90. But even now, if you look at your age today, and you think you are going to live maybe 10, 20 years?
No.
I don't know. We don't know how many days we have left. But we know that 1 year has only 365 days, right? So if you think you are going to live 10 years, it's only 3,650 days. Think about it. And then you can count, you know, according to your estimate, whatever you want to live. But like Senator Graham, I mean, he was in bad shape at all. He was in good shape. He was only 71. You never know when your time in this life comes to an end. It comes like a wind that comes and goes, and our life is like that and is taken away. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses found wisdom in finding that his limited number of days that is left is important for him. And that's what we have to learn from it. So when I thought about Moses' situation, he was thinking about himself as who he was, where he came from, and where is he now, and where is he going. These are some historical, philosophical questions people have asked historically. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I now? Where am I going? It's a good thing to think about it. Who are we? Who am I? Moses knew who he was. In the beginning, he didn't know. When he was born, there was an edict from the Pharaoh that all the babies have to be thrown in the Nile to kill all the babies. Mm-hmm. And he was saved from that difficult time because his mother put him in a little basket and mm-hmm. left him in the Nile River. And Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he was raised for 40 years in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh. Can you imagine that? A Hebrew baby that will never can be imagined to be living in an Egyptian home, and particularly in an Egyptian palace as a son of the Pharaoh. That's how God kept him. That's how God kept him. He lived there 40 years. Then he saw the struggle of God's people. And he knew that was not his home. So he left the palace. He left the palace and went in search of his dear ones. And he finally found his family. And then he started tending sheep, his father's sheep. Another 40 years that he spent as a shepherd in the wilderness, tending sheep.
Yes.
Not a good life. Not an easy life when he compares that to his early life in the palace. But that's what he left, because God's call was for him to be there, to be trained in the palace, mm-hmm. So he has a mission coming to lead the people. So he was trained as a prince, how to rule, and he learned the basic lessons of leadership. Then he was sent to the desert to tend the sheep, and he spent 40 years there. All of a sudden, God's call came. In the burning bush, there's a voice that came and said, "I want you, Moses. I want to come and rescue these people. I've heard the cry of my people under slavery in Egypt. I want to rescue them, so I want you to take the leadership." Moses said, no, I am not the right person. You probably have it wrong. Because first of all, he was raised by an Egyptian pharaoh. And then, he was a very shy guy. He did not speak in front of people. And also he stuttered. And he gave God so many different excuses. He said, "Lord, I am stuttered. I cannot speak to people. You know I am nervous in front of people. And how am I going to go to the Pharaoh and ask him for these things? You know me." And God told him, "Yes, I know you. I know you because you stutter. I know you not because you are shy. I know you not because you stutter. I know you because you accepted my call." That's the type of people God is looking for. Not the best out there, but the ones who accept the call of God and takes up the responsibility that God gives them to go out and do the work that God wants us to do.
Amen.
The faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful in the ministry, in the service, in the family that he has given us to take care of. Faithfulness is what God saw in Moses. So Moses, God told him, if you're shy, I know you're shy, you stutter, that's why I have Aaron here, brother. He will speak for you. How about that? I wish I had that, something like that, when I have headache. Somebody speak for me. But Moses was shy and stuttering, but Aaron always spoke for Moses. Because Aaron was trained as a spiritual leader from the Levite family. So he stood in for Moses many times. That's why Moses was kind of found himself lonely, because Aaron is gone. In that critical stage of his life, when he found himself that all his resources have been taken out of himself, God is the ultimate refuge and the dwelling place for him. So the lesson that we learn from this prayer of Moses is that our ultimate home is not in this world.
Amen.
This world will pass away. Whatever we accumulate here, the fame and wealth and name, whatever it is, even our family members, they will only come probably to the grave. Sometimes not even to that. Sometimes not even there. That's the maximum they've come to. And then they will leave us and say bye. But after that, what? We have to leave everything here.
Yes, Lord.
And our home, if you consider this is our home in this world, we got it wrong. And Moses got it wrong. And then he said, "You are my eternal home, O God. My eternal dwelling place where I can find myself being at home is only when you are there with me. And in your presence only I feel at home." Even in our homes, we find ourselves lonely many times. A lot of things miss in our lives because people leave us, people die and separate from us. Then we miss them, right?
Yes.
And nobody can fill that void. And the more we live, the more people will be missing. Right? We'll have more people in heaven, in friends, than we have friends here in this world. I don't know if I want to live that longer.
Well, true.
I don't know if I want to live that long, because even now when I go to my relatives' house in weddings and stuff like that sometimes, they don't know me. I have to introduce myself. Even this generation don't know me, how about the next generation? If I live that long, they will never know me. Even if they know me, they don't want to talk to me. So that's a very lonely situation we are. Thank God for the brevity of life. God, you know, thank God for we don't live 200 years, you know, want to be here. But Moses was very thankful for what he had gone through. He accepted the call. Answering God's call and be faithful to his call in this world to take care of our families, our church, our community, whatever that God has placed us to do, with the talents and the gifts that God has given us, faithfully to use it. That's all God wants from us. Not our strength, not our might, not our speaking ability or teaching ability. Everything is good. It is good to use them, but God is looking for faithful workers for his kingdom. Moses considered this world to be temporary, and he looked at the dwelling eternal home. Even though he had a dream to go to the promised land across the river, he looked at it, but then he said, no, even that is not my land. My home is eternal. Even if I miss that promised land, the Canaan that you promised me, I don't really worry about it, because I'll be in a better place when I come to see you. So when he was 120 years, 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness, tending sheep, and then another 40 years leading the people through the wilderness, at the end of his life, all he has to give is to give praise, thanks to, praise and thanks to God. Let us be grateful for everything that we have in our lives. Our home is a place of refreshment. That's what we always think of. But the more we live in our homes, it doesn't become a place of refreshment anymore. Sometimes it becomes a place of stress and bitterness. Many families leave and break apart. Many people die. And then we become out of place in our own home, because our life is full of missing things. Missing the past life, missing past dear ones, missing our children, missing everything. Filled with the missing things. That's what life is. The longer we live, the more things we miss. But if we get stuck in the missing pieces of life like that and looking at the stuck in the past, we are not going to be happy. In order to be happy, leave those things that are missing in our lives. Leave them out. Look for the eternal home that God is preparing for us. Jesus said when he left this world, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That is the greatest hope that we have. So it is not this temporary things that we are looking at. It is also the eternal home that we have to put our eyes on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what the Bible teaches. Looking unto Jesus. And it also tells us one more thing. Not only these temporary things around us, our body itself will perish. And our soul will be with God one day after death. He is a God of eternity from everlasting to everlasting. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this hope that we have, that we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That is why Moses could face death without fear. That is why we can face death without fear. There's an eternal home that we will go after our life in this world. And all of our dear ones will be there, joining together, praising God one day. Isn't that the greatest hope that we can hold on to? May the good Lord bless us with this hope and strengthen us every day with this hope as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
Closing hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness. It is 140 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand and join this closing hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you are able, please stand. Our God is a God of eternity. He is eternal from generations to generations. He is our eternal home. He was the dwelling place of Moses, dwelling place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the dwelling place of every believer who lives here today. May we know that we have an eternity God has promised, and our life in this world is temporary. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.